Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Where we talk about turning your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. Super excited because, as promised, Melissa Swink said she would go live on the podcast for an in-person live, well, it'll be recorded when you watch this, coaching session with myself and Master Coach Rebecca Hall. So we're just doing this. It's unscripted. We don't know where this is going to go. Like, you're going to watch this in real time, and like, we're not editing this. So get ready, get your notes out. It's going to be fun. And Melissa's been on the show, I think we said 5 times now. Mm-hmm. It's got to be like that.
I think it's 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun.
Which is exciting. And Melissa has been in our world for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Even more than that, I think. But you took your seat at the CEO table 3 years ago. So mm-hmm. we've been on this journey. So you've been coached by the two of us. You've been in the Ursula and Rebecca sandwich, as we call it, for 3 years.
Yes.
And you keep coming back. And then you volunteer to do things like this, like be on the show and receive coaching. So thank you, first of all, for doing this with us. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Rebecca Hall, thanks for being here. We're going to have some fun today. So Melissa, I'm going to let you just kick it off. Like, if you showed up for a coaching session with us, the two of mm-hmm. us, you know, what would you say? How would you get us kicked off with sharing, like, what's been going on for you and how can we support you?
Great question. So something that I am working on currently in my business this year, I took, as you both have encouraged us to do, is to take a look at the 3 ways that we're marketing our business. And I was taking a look at, you know, results from last year and what we did last year and taking a look at the upcoming year and where are the opportunities. And I really wanted to find something that resonated with me. And one of those things was to get back involved with a networking group. Mm-hmm. I think, like a lot of people, especially when COVID hit, and I realize that's, you know, 4 years ago now at this point, but a lot of networking groups kind of fizzled out or they went online and people kind of lost touch. And so I have been taking a look at networking opportunities, not only in my area, but also online. And so as I'm pondering this and how it fits into the overall marketing strategy for my business, there's a couple of things that came up. You know, first of all, like, what are some of the things to look for in a good quality networking group? And I know a lot of it has to do with just the overall vibe that you get from the people that are in there. Do you enjoy it? But if you have some criteria that I should be thinking about, another question that I have and I'm pondering as I'm visiting groups currently is also how to be selective of one-to-one. So I've been visiting networking groups and love meeting new people. You know, I'm a business owner. I like making those connections, whether they be, you know, be clients or great referral sources for and resources for other people that I encounter. But I'm trying to figure out how to be selective of the one-to-ones that I'm adding on the calendar, because one thing that I'm finding is happening is I'm showing up to networking groups and everyone's throwing their link out. And then pretty soon my calendar's full of, I don't want to say random conversations, but I think I need to take a little bit more of a quality or quantity approach to some of those invites. And that stands for coffee meetings as well, which I'm sure you both receive, where it's like, let's meet for coffee, you know, trying to fit it all in. And then lastly, I would love to understand better the stages of establishing referral partnerships, because I know there's trust building. It doesn't happen overnight, but you know, what do those look like where they're mutually beneficial? So that is my overall brain dump of all the things rattling around in my brain right now in that marketing arm of my business this year.
I love it. And I love that this is a topic that is going to be helpful for everyone who's listening. And you also brought up the key, which Rebecca talks about all the time. You have to have 3 ways to market. And one of your keys is now going to be in this networking space. And just for everyone's benefit, if they don't know you, tell them really quickly about your business and what you do.
Sure, absolutely. So I am located in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I have a team of virtual assistants who provide administrative and marketing support for small businesses and nonprofits. So we are able to take all of the things that they cannot get done over the course of the day, all the overflow on their plates, and we help them grow and scale their businesses by offering that support.
And you do it so well.
We love it.
Yes. And your clients love you. And so you brought up three things. And so Rebecca and I just want to make sure we got this. So first, you want to talk about things to look for in a networking group. Like, is it the vibe? Like, what's important? And then you said, how to be selective on those one-to-ones or those when someone says, hey, can we have coffee? Or my favorite, hey, Melissa, can I pick your brain? Oh,
yes.
And then third, what are the stages of establishing like referral partnerships? Is that accurate?
That is perfect. Yes.
Okay. Where do you feel the most called to begin today?
Why don't we start with these being selective of the coffee meetings, the pick your brain requests and all of that, because as much as I want to say yes and meet everybody, you know, there's kind of that line between staying focused and prioritize all the things that I need to do as the CEO of my company and fostering those relationships. How do you kind of be selective and determine what's a great opportunity and what maybe it's, so if you're not going to say yes, then also like, how do you still encourage that connection in another fashion?
Yeah. I have a question first and then I'm going to kick it to Rebecca. So just to clarify, what would you be hoping to receive from these referral partnerships?
Oh, sure. So taking a bit of a step back, the first question that I have, I think, is the first layer of when I'm meeting somebody new at a networking group, whether it be online or in person, and they're like, hey, we should grab coffee, or would you like to schedule a virtual networking call? You know, how do you select who you say yes to? And if you don't say, if it doesn't feel like a yes, where, you know, maybe what they do isn't necessarily something that I think that I can provide value for, or it might not necessarily be a fit for a potential referral partnership. Where do you direct them otherwise?
So when you go to the networking meeting, everybody, if I recall, everybody says, here's who I am, here's what I do.
If they're a direct referral partner, right? Like there's some that are more like a NABO would be, you know, where it's not, you're not expected to give referrals, but then there's some that are the direct referral group. So it kind of depends.
I think part of it is setting the stage, right? It's like, why do we go to networking?
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, networking, hopefully, thankfully, I've seen it happen over time, has kind of gotten away from speed dating, right? Where you go to a networking to sell everybody else your stuff.
Yeah.
And so part of it is, I think you can kind of control the narrative a little bit when you introduce yourself. And, you know, or it's like, hey, you know, I'm here. And when you talk about, you know, how do you choose one in the first place? Like, I would choose one that has complementary services and products that probably my target market or someone like one degree away would want, right? It's like, how do you collaborate? And when you think about how you collaborate anywhere else in life, you know, some of your best friends in the past might have come from a job you had. And, you know, has anyone here had a job and you create this tight group of people and you go out after work and blah, 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 blah. And then the second that person quits or you quit, you don't really talk to those people anymore. Right. Because what you shared in common was the job you were doing all day, even if you were in one part of the company and they were in the other. Another good place is kids. Right. Like if you have young kids, I'm going to look for other people that have young kids. So maybe try and narrow down a little bit more to them, not just being other business owners, but other business owners that serve a certain percentage of the population or a certain demographic or a couple of demographics that would all, you know, because that's how you build those relationships is you have something in common.
Yeah.
So
let's
that'd
talk
be my
one. Second. Let's stop. Yeah. So Melissa, who would that be for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if we're looking at potential referral partners, it would be complementary businesses to my own. So it might be bookkeepers and accountants. It might be SEO or web developers, just maybe people who serve a similar audience and clientele as me, but we don't offer competing services.
Right. And I would say size of business too.
Where have your best referrals come from, like to date, like when you think about it high level? And this is good for everyone who's listening, right? Like, where have your best referrals come from?
Yeah, I would say, you know, current clients, certainly. That's always great. Also, I would say brand photographers, marketing agencies where maybe they focus again on, you know, website design, but they don't necessarily do the ongoing social media or blog services or something that goes hand in hand with that. I would say those are probably two that jump out at me.
You said business coaches in the past too.
Yes. Yes. I have worked with business coaches in the past because they're coaching their clients, of course, on, you know, the how and the why and all of that. But they essentially, their clients essentially need somebody often to help them execute on and implement the things that they're being coached on.
Yeah. So once we know that, then how do you set that up when you get there, right? In your intro. And we've talked about it before where it's like, hey, the goal is really to create 1 to 3 really good connections there. So if you were almost to think about like what questions you would ask. So if I came up to you, I'm like, hey, Melissa, I love what you do. I think we should get together for lunch or we should get together for a little virtual, whatever. Mm-hmm. Say, great. You know, what did you like? You know, how do you see us working together? Well, I don't know. Like, that's what I want to find out. So then maybe have like 3 or 4 questions and say, well, maybe I can help. Like, this is what I'm looking for. And, you know, maybe if that will help you think about what you're looking for. Like, be, you know, there's no reason why you can't just kind of like pre-qual them right there. And then, you know, once you're, let's say they're not somebody, right? Like, this is not someone I want to be networking with. It's actually okay to be like, I'm actually not seeing a fit at this moment, but maybe like, you know, when we talk more here and maybe go to some mixers or whatever, you know, something, because everything's always evolving, right? It evolves in your business, their business. So you might like, hey, I don't see an opportunity right now, but maybe, you know, if we keep communicating or we can share some things like, here's my website. Let me send you this free tool that I give people, you know, what do you have? Send me something. And then you can kind of go into it a little bit more. So then if they're a no, then it's just a no over time, you know, and if it's a yes, then you understand, like, when we go to the next thing, this is what Ursula says all the time. What's the next step? You got to know what the next step is. So if it's a yes, then what do you want to have happen that now that you've blocked that time out in your calendar? Like, what is the result? Like, hey, we'd like to meet and I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and me. And, you know, I want to share with you what I'm doing. I want to hear what you're doing. And I want to see, I'm looking for a collaboration there. If we can create something. And a lot of times it's not going to be a permanent situation where it's like, well, now we're besties, let's get married. But it might be like enough where you see the possibility of doing like one activity. Like, why don't you be on my podcast? How about I be on your podcast? Like, let's put our toe in the water. Mm-hmm. And if you can get someone that's like vibing with you on that, then that's probably a pretty good thing. But when you're looking at your time and you're going to these networking meetings, say, hey, I'm going to block out, you know, 3 appointments a week for who I meet at these places that are qualified. And then you're not feeling like your time's getting taken away from you.
Can we talk more about some of those other opportunities and maybe provide some more examples? Because I like where you're going with that, with, you know, kind of pre-qualifying the people who I ultimately end up meeting with. And if they're not a fit right now, maybe asking them to send me some more information about their services and likewise doing the same. So I would love to hear a little bit more, because I think where I struggle is, great, we had coffee or we had a meeting and we had a nice conversation. I asked about, you know, the types of services they provide, who they work with. I've done the same. You know, what are the next steps from there? Aside from like, I'll keep you in mind if anybody, you know, needs a virtual assistant or, you know, needs a web developer. Great.
Right. So I would, again, you know, don't be afraid to like throw something like that out there where it's like, hey, I feel like, you know, there's a lot I understand about what you do. And they're like, I do too. It's like, great. So what would be some ways that we could work together if we were to just test it? Like, it doesn't all have to be on you to be like, oh, now I got to solve this issue. Like, ask them. And they might, and you might even say, well, so I really love what you had to say. I think that we kind of serve the same person. I think we can be complementary. I'd like to try something. I have a podcast. I'd love to interview you on my podcast. Let's see what that does. What do you have? And toss the hot potato back to them. But it's something that you guys need to decide together. But I would definitely, when you're meeting them, like, hey, you know, just so you know, my objectives are to learn as much as I can about you. I want to share what I'm doing. And like, I want to find at least one thing we can do after this that would help both of our businesses.
Beautiful.
And I then, then co-create it.
Yes. Don't put it all on yourself. I think, Rebecca, mm-hmm. you and I have seen so many of our clients where we've had to kind of back out of things where they've taken it all in. Like, I can think of one client who set up 10, this was a while ago, but she set up 10 meetings mm-hmm. with her clients for a referral partner. This client probably made, I don't know, $100,000 from these clients or more, and then didn't reciprocate. And this person was kind of mortified. And the problem was that when we dissected it, is there wasn't an expectation up front. There wasn't a clear plan. And so this is where, to Rebecca's point, it's like, let's co-create the next step together that benefits us mutually. I'll give you an example. Literally today, I was invited to be on a summit. And I was talking to this woman and we were really vibing. I was like, this is someone that I could do a lot with. And I was excited and we were chatting. And immediately I was like, after, cause, you know, she's putting me in front of hundreds of thousands of people. I said, you know, I'd love to have you on my podcast. Let's promote your summit there and kind of see where it goes. And she was delighted. And then after I said that, she goes, you know what? I'm going to take your interview and I'm going to put it on my podcast and give you additional exposure because I really like what we're talking about today. And that's where that, you know, when you find the right people mm-hmm. and it's the right fit and you have a shared audience, you just get this kind of back and forth.
Yes.
One thing that really helped me in the past too, when I was deep into referral partnerships, we're building them again. It's just like, to your point, like I think Rebecca, you said this since COVID, like things have been different. Right. And so it's like, I feel like we're all kind of rebuilding different things, but in the past, what helped me a lot was once like this particular, like this example today, this woman, I want to talk with her more regularly. So if that means we're going to connect mm-hmm. once a month, just to have a conversation. And the conversation is, to Rebecca's point again, how can we mutually support each other? Like, mm-hmm. what do you have going on? And this is where it's important to be kind of direct and say, listen, I'm building referral partnerships where, you know, in some states you can't say partnerships. So let's say relationships where okay. we're going to mutually support each other over time. And I just see you as someone that we can do that. And we're going to get started like this. And over time, it would be great if every month we sat down and looked at like, cause maybe I can refer you to somebody else's podcast, mm-hmm. or maybe you have a speaking engagement you think I should speak, right? Like mm-hmm. then it just keeps moving it forward. So I'm curious, how is this landing for you, Melissa, and what might be missing from that for you?
Yeah, no, these are all really helpful things for me to keep in the back of my mind. And yeah, I have run into that where I'm like, great, we should do a joint venture. Let's do an event. But because I have the team that can do a lot of the deliverables, then, you know, I have my team doing all of these things. And essentially, you know, my guest only needs to show up, which, you know, is great on one hand, but then sometimes if they're not bringing enough, maybe if they're not inviting enough people to the event or they haven't been promoting it as steadily, then it definitely feels like more of the work falls mm-hmm. on my shoulders. And so that was helpful where maybe that's too much, you know, yeah. from in the beginning, maybe testing the waters of having continued conversations on a more regular basis or doing a podcast exchange or guest blog or something like that. Maybe it's more of taking those baby steps rather than jumping into a large event sort of situation.
I'd ask them, I'd say, how have you been marketing your business? How are you getting clients right now? Like that okay. might help you identify that, mm-hmm. like what their efforts have been, you know, because mm-hmm. if they're like, oh, I mean, I just like find people to be on their podcasts. Like mm-hmm. now, you know, that they're not, you know, they're not active. Like they don't have a team. They don't have a strategy.
Sure.
Right. Versus it's like, well, I do like 5 events a year and I, you know, I have a blog and I do this and I hold these Instagram live, you know, now, you know, there's something happening.
Sure.
And so that can kind of help you. So I would just flat out ask them, like, someone's like, well, tell me about your business. Tell me about what you do, who you work with. So, you know, how are you getting clients currently? Like, what do you find that's working well for you right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that actually made me think of something else too. What are some of the questions that the two of you like to ask when you're having a first one-on-one meeting with somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to make sure that it's a similar size business. I was going to say this, like some of us, we see these, you know, business mm-hmm. leaders and it'd be like, oh, it'd be great to partner with them. Well, they might be getting so many requests or they might already have established partnerships. We don't, I mean, know that for sure. So mm-hmm. it's often easier to find businesses that are of a similar size or your best guess. It's like where you're kind of equal, right? You're kind of equal yes. in the business journey. So those are questions I'd ask, like, how long have you been in business? How many clients do you have? Like, how much are you looking to grow this year? Mm-hmm. To Rebecca's point, like, how are you marketing right now? Like, I'd want to know what their current strategy already is. And then, okay. you know, if, does it make sense for us to partner, you know, and this is where digging a little bit deeper is really important. And I would even say, listen, Melissa, I don't want to waste your time, right? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure this is a fit and this could be mutually beneficial. Now, let's say if it does move a step forward, I wanted to add this and you're going to do an event together. Cause I think this happens a lot. Mm-hmm. One thing to keep in mind is that a large event doesn't mean large results because sometimes we could just register a bunch of people, but they might not be ideal clients for me or for you. So then it's a waste of time. Sometimes mm-hmm. smaller roundtable type events where, you know, I hand select 10 people I want there and you hand select 10 people that you want there because literally I think they could benefit from your services and you think they could benefit from my services and we create something really important together. But I'd be really clear ahead of time on how many people we want coming to the table. And I would track it, like really look at the registration. So all that to Got say, it. It's like from the beginning, you know, similar size, like just we're in alignment with how we're wanting to grow, the size mm-hmm. of our business, the kind of clients we have, so that our expectations are very clear and also similar in terms of what we want to create. Rebecca, what would you add to that? What's important to you?
Yeah, I think like attracts like. And, mm-hmm. and like I pointed out earlier, anytime in life, we are always looking or we're getting the most traction with people that share something similar to us. It's always nice to meet a celebrity and tell them how much you like them or what they do. And then after like 10 minutes, you're like, okay, now what? Like, what do you really share in common, right? And I think it's just super important. And don't mm-hmm. be afraid to ask those questions. Like, everybody's in business. Like, sometimes we... You know, it's yeah. like, I don't know, like we think we're trying to be accommodating instead of like, you know, just get to the point. Like, this is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can help you, I will. And if you can help me, I know you will. But really, I'm looking for some very strategic partners where we can collaborate, you know, over time and really help build a nice referral strategy for each other.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. This has been really helpful.
Well, cool. Melissa, okay. So we talked about the stages of establishing the referral partnerships. Do you think we mm-hmm. covered that?
To the fact that you really have to figure out what is your goal ultimately yeah. and who are you looking to connect with? I think those are two mm-hmm. major factors. Are there anything else that I should be looking for?
Yeah. When I was doing in-person networking really steadily back in California, back in the day, I had three rules for my networking groups. Number one, I wanted to be part of my business association. And I think that's important for everybody. Number two, I wanted to be in a direct referral group. Like, I think there's some out there like Master Networks, a shout out to them. There's also BNI's, there's the mm-hmm. Leaders Club in California. There's groups like that where it's direct referrals back and forth. And then third, I always wanted to be part of my favorite nonprofit at the time and support them. So those were my three keys and that served me really well. Now the key underneath that though, Melissa, I want to share, and I know you know this, I was always on the board. I sat on every single one of those boards because business is done at the board. It's done at the back of the room. That's how you deepen those relationships. So maybe you can't serve on all the boards. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time for that. All right, fine. So figure out which board you can serve on. That's how you build the relationships. That's how you really get to know people. And you're also serving. It's going to come back to you. It's not why you do it, but it's just people get to see you in action and really like, know, trust you.
Got it.
So in addition to that, like when we talked about, hey, well, let's talk about who's there. I also want to really get to know the person that's actually managing it. Just like mm-hmm. Ursula said, like why are they running it? What have they gotten out of it? How long have they done it? What's their purpose for it? You know, because I've seen some groups that have good people, but are not run by the best people or for whatever they're getting out of running the group.
Yeah.
And so that kind of trickles down. So just as important as who's in the group or the purpose of the group, like who's running it, like who's in charge, what mm-hmm. is their vision for this networking? How do they do checks and balances on it? How do they work on membership? Like those, that's just as important to me as when I'm looking at joining one.
Yeah. Would you say that you would recommend almost having a conversation with whoever is the leader or organizer of the group and making sure that you're aligned from that standpoint yeah. as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and definitely visit more than once. I would visit, most places let you visit twice, mm-hmm. some more than that, but just being able to visit and get a sense of the vibes and see what's happening. See what's happening not only during the meetings, but at the back of the room. Like, sure. are you greeted when you get there? Are mm-hmm. they walking around and introducing you? When I was in Nabo, we had our membership chair. Our membership chair knew who the new guests were that were coming, and they made sure that they took the guests around and introduced them to everybody. We wanted people to feel welcome so that they could make a decision. Maybe it was a fit, maybe it wasn't for them, but that was, mm-hmm. that was really, really critical. And okay. then the other thing I would add is within that same caveat is what are the values of the organization and are those values mm-hmm. in alignment with you? And okay. when you meet with the, whoever's leading it at the time, you can certainly ask that question.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. This has all been really, really helpful. And it's been fun to visit different groups and see, you know, who is active in the organizations and what the vibe is and all of that. So, but this is helpful for me to make a concrete decision on which direction I want to go because, you know, time is valuable.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure yeah. it's the right fit.
And I would track it. So I yeah. have a spreadsheet where you're like, here's all the groups, here's where they meet, here's what I liked, here's what I didn't like, because everything cycles, everything evolves. And what might not be a good fit for you now could be in the future and vice versa. So tracking, okay. tracking. Can't say that enough. It's super boring, but like, this is what helps you understand what's happening versus what you feel happened or, you know, what you sure. maybe remember or don't remember. So
okay.
there's lots of opportunities, and ones that have been around a long time, sometimes they cycle groups, like people go, you know, especially in January, that's a great time to go to networking because hey, everybody's new. And then we'll see who's still there after March. Right.
yeah.
And so
yeah.
it's just something.
Two along those lines of tracking, but before you track is when you go and visit, ask people, like have a few conversations. You don't have to have separate meetings. We can do this during the networking time. Ask them, what are the top three things that you've gained from being part of this networking group? And okay. then notice, like, is one of them that they've gotten business? So if it's a referral group and they don't mention that they've gotten business, like if it's direct referral, I'd barely be wondering about that.
Okay.
You know, it's helped me grow my leadership skills. Okay. That's pretty cool. Like really listen to what they're saying and then okay. what they're not saying as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very good.
Melissa, what did we miss on these? I'm looking at my list. Yeah. Did we miss anything?
I think this has been really helpful. So looking forward to diving in a little bit further and having more of a strategy in place for the next groups that I visit. I'll start creating a spreadsheet, Rebecca, like you had said.
Perfect.
I'm starting to keep track of the groups, when they meet, what I like, not like. And also, I think I'm going to tweak the, I guess, general, you know, coffee virtual networking call outline that I have and update the questions that I'm asking. I think those are some of my first initial things that I need to be doing before I continue on and having additional conversations and visiting more meetings.
You know, Melissa, it's like you've worked with us before because I was going to ask what your takeaways are, but you already nailed them. So, all right. Well, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you. And before we wrap up, I just want to say again, we love having you at the CEO table. It's just a pleasure to run with you because you don't walk, you run. And I know our members love you as well. So you're going to be launching a podcast. Tell everybody, where can they find you? Where do you hang out? And then a little bit about the podcast that you're going to have coming out.
Sure. Absolutely. So easiest way to find me, melissaswink.com. I'm sure that you'll be able to post the link to that in those show notes. So it's just my name, super simple. We will be adding a podcast tab on the website as soon as that goes live. But I have found, again, going back to the three ways I wanted to network this year, I really enjoy podcasts. I like how convenient they are, where you can listen to them on the go when you're getting ready for the day, when you're walking in the car, you know, shuttling kids around, whatever. And I wanted to add to the conversation this year. And so the podcast, name to be determined, we're playing around and we're polling and getting team members involved with that. But really, it's a podcast for solo business owners who are at a point where they want to really grow and scale their businesses in a way that means growing their teams, implementing systems, and doing it in a way that is authentic and aligned for them. So it's not about hustling and doing more. It's being selective and growing your company in a meaningful way.
It's going to be amazing. So by the time the show comes out, we'll have more in the show notes and we'll include that there. And congratulations, Melissa, on all your success. And thanks for building. This was actually Melissa's idea. I meant to say at the beginning, Melissa's like, hey, we should do some live coaching. And she goes, I've heard it. Other people do it. You should be doing it. I'm like, that's a great idea. Some of our best ideas clearly come from our clients. So thank you for this idea.
Yes, we'd you're welcome. This was fun.
Yes, we'd love to do it again and invite some of our other clients to, who are brave and courageous like you are willing to do it. So thank you.
I don't know, maybe we should invite some of our listeners.
Oh, that'd be fun too. That's even better.
It will be really fantastical because we're like, we don't even know you. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we could put together a little contest or a little form and we could like, you know.
Well, for now, we can throw it out there and just say, hey, if you're interested in coming on the show and receiving coaching from us, you can email us at contact@ursulainc.co, put coaching in the subject line and tell us a little about your business. And we'll have Trisha have a conversation with you. That's a great
That'd
idea.
That'd be fun.
Love it.
Melissa, thanks again for hanging out with us. We appreciate you. Rebecca Hall, my co-pilot, thanks for hanging out and coaching. It's always fun to do this with you. We're going to do more of it. And to our listeners all over the world, we love hanging out with you. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And make this your most epic month yet. See you later.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.